Three of Hearts is a podcast of queer joy and silly laughs coupled with sad people and grave danger. Content warnings can be found in the episode description. Previously on Three of Hearts. Agents Vellum and Felspar, along with their traveling companions, reached Vellum's hometown of Yue Liang. There they met Mei Hui, a friend of Vellum's parents and patron of the local hot springs and inn, and stayed the night. After an amorous evening, Vellum and Felspar were attacked in the night by the ghillie-suited assailant from the beginning of their adventure, as well as their crocodile companion Cletus and the ever-pathetic Sir Timby. The agents dispatched these foes, but found themselves in another uncomfortable situation as the ghillie-suited person was revealed to be Magnolia, an esteemed guest of Yue Liang, who identified Vellum and Spar as fugitives of the law. Okay. To set the scene, I think Ichbala is coming out of the spring carrying, like, dragging unconscious Templeton with her. She's lightly singed because he did electrocute the pool with her in it. Mm-hmm. I don't remember to what degree we actually subdued Cletus. There was a lot of discussion about that. But either way, Magnolia would, like, call Cletus off at this point anyway, so Cletus is not a problem.
We had talked about tying Cletus up in a tree.
There was so much talk about tying Cletus up in a tree, but I don't think we got there because then the Mei Hui thing happened. But whether that maybe that did, maybe that didn't happen, it's not super relevant. Other than that, I guess Magnolia would be pretty upset if that were the case. So anyway, we're standing back in doors, I think, like maybe like the threshold from the spot to the inn. Mei Hui and Magnolia are standing there. I think Spar probably is just rejoining from the spa as well, because Vellum was going to talk to Mei Hui. Yeah, Mei Hui's like, what's going on? Magnolia had said that they were... Well, I don't know what they said, so Magnolia's gonna step in, actually, and say, Mei Hui, to be fair to Mr. Vellum here, I did start the altercation. I will own up to that. However, Carolyn is a fugitive of the governor of Vossa Natura, Governor Thorne, and I am bringing him in, as well as his companion, Mr. Felspar, on her behalf.
I don't believe we're acquainted enough yet for you to call me Cowlin.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Vellum.
Thank you. And, you know, considering the number of altercations we've had thus far,
just two.
It's two more than I've had with anyone else in this room.
Ichbala says, okay, not to be a bitch, but you did try to, like, punch Spar one time.
Spar, who is standing slightly in front of Vellum, still holding his sword and dressed in a kind of soggy bathrobe, looks at Ichbala and is like, it doesn't count as an altercation if it's foreplay.
Vellum blushes a little bit. I also was not attempting to steal his blood or cause lasting harm to Agent Felspar.
To be clear, Spar's bullshitting. He is fully lying on Vellum's behalf, so that what Vellum has said sounds more correct.
Ichbala says, you two are so gross, but kind of in a cute way. Like a slug.
Regardless, it is nice to finally put a face behind the ghillie suit.
Mei Hui says, Kellen, why are you a fugitive? What is going on here?
Can we take this in one of the rooms? I think Vellum's a little worried about other people that were running around with the hot springs and whatnot.
Yeah. Magnolia says, I'm not letting you off my sight if we do. And Mei Hui says, well, this is a lovely energy in my establishment right now. Yes, let's take this somewhere private.
Thank you.
I think that, like, Ishbala, Josepha, I was going to say Merafina, but Merafina does not care. Ishbala and Josepha are, like, trying to, like, you know, damage control in the inn itself.
Can Ishbala keep an eye on Cletus?
Yeah.
Cool. I just want to make sure Cletus doesn't, like, scamper away and cause shenanigans elsewhere.
Where's Sorrel?
I think Sorrel's, like, probably still in her room. I mean, she peeked out and was like, this is not something that concerns me. Do you want to check in on her, or?
Or make sure that somebody does. Okay. I think Spar doesn't need to lay eyes on her. I just, as SA, am making sure that I am not missing something by Sorrel not being in the scene.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Ishbala will check on her. Ishbala put something heavy on top of Timbleton. Maybe it's the bookshelf that was, the bookshelf was placed in front of the closet that Magnolia was in the last session, and now it's just on top of Timby.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so you end up in a room, not your guys' room necessarily, just a room, an unused one. Magnolia kind of, like, splays out on the bed. Meihui takes a seat in, like, a chair, and there's not really a sitting place for you at this point. She says, oh, I can, Mr. Felspar, you're a guest here, you should take a seat.
Spar looks at Felim and says, and just kind of, like, inclines his head, doesn't even, like, say anything.
Also, could I get you a drier change of clothes?
That would be wonderful, thank you.
Meihui runs out really quick.
Felim will go and sit down. So, I'm sure we both have questions for each other. You mentioned Governor Thorne.
Uh-huh.
I was also curious if the first time we met, who had sent you?
I don't know who sent me the first time. It was an anonymous job.
Hmm.
I met this guy in the clink. Edmuth? Who thinks that we may have been hired by... The rumor is that Gray Harrington hired us for that job, but we don't really know for sure. We never met them.
And you were after my blood.
That's correct.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, and I have to be honest. Like, none of this is personal in the least. I like Yue Liang, you and your family have a great reputation here. I don't owe you, either of you, any ill will, but, you know, person's gotta eat, and also the governor is offering me freedom on the condition that I bring you two in, so I'm bringing you two in. So let's stop with the violence in this lovely little town, and we can just walk back to Cindershore. Well, not walk back. We have better means of travel than that. And this can be done.
Was Magnolia in Cindershore's prison when we broke everyone out?
Correct.
But they got captured again by Thorne?
Yes.
Ah.
Would Vellum ask that?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, Magnolia said, yes, myself and Mr. Bumbledore?
Wimbledon?
Yeah. We escaped. Timby is so much easier to remember. We escaped and then got, yes, promptly recaptured by the Bramble Guard, and they offered us conditional pardon, but the condition being your capture.
Hmm. Specifically myself or any suits agents?
Not, well, the two of you.
Okay. Not Ishbala.
Actually, no.
Spar shoots Vellum a look, and he's standing. He's still holding his sword, isn't quite, like, at 100% attention, but is, like, sort of ready, and is standing so that, if needed, he could dart between Vellum and Magnolia. So he looks at Vellum.
Meihui returns.
Spar looks at Vellum and says, she finally figured out we come as a pair.
Yes. Vellum grins back at Spar and says, took her long enough.
Spar winks.
Mehoi has like two different changes of clothes. One is like a pair of like trousers and like a tunic-y top. And the other is like a robe, but more of like a robe you would wear out and about. Like more kimono style kind of robe.
Mm-hmm.
So, Spar change or not yet?
No, he's following Vellum's lead here, so he'll let Vellum take first pick of clothes, and also will... I don't know what the changing situation is going to be if Magnolia isn't willing to look away.
There's a bathroom.
Okay.
Magnolia just said they didn't want Vellum out of their sight, so...
Yeah.
They'll let you go in the bathroom one at a time, but you're not together.
Damn. I guess Vellum will take the kimono-style robe and wrap it around himself. Out of curiosity, are you still in the market for my blood?
Magnolia says, no. As far as I know, that contract's been terminated.
Hmm.
Mehoi says, is Spar changing? I'm just curious. Or is Spar waiting?
If Mehoi is gonna stay in the room,
uh-huh.
Spar will change, like, in the bathroom with the door, like, half-ish open.
Okay. Sounds good. Mm. While that's happening, Mehoi says, it's actually sort of interesting that you two haven't met each other. Now that I think about it, it must just be coincidence. You're both semi-frequent visitors to this village. And he says, Cowan, Magnolia is sort of a general freelancer of sorts, and we use their services to acquire tomes that people request from our library that we do not have. Ever since we became more sedentary here, ceased our nomadic ways, Magnolia has been a great boon, a source, basically a local hero. And now, once that's mentioned, you remember, like, someone like this existing, but not having known their name.
Okay.
Or, like, even if you had heard the name Magnolia, like, you didn't know who it belonged to, you know?
Mm.
Magnolia says, yep, I'm kind of a big deal. And seriously, I think that Yue Liang is amazing. I have respect for you and your family, like I said, but I'm not quitting this contract.
What if we could offer you a better deal?
Than my freedom? Than not having to look over my shoulder? I doubt you can, but I'm listening.
You're a fool if you trust Belladonna to ever keep her word. If you're smart, you'll always be looking over your shoulder. She'll find something to hold over you.
Spar, can you flip charm persuasion or presence persuasion?
Sure. I'm going to flip with a new deck, just for funsies.
Oh, what is it?
It's actually one of the ones you gave me. It's the all-black fairy deck.
And so cool.
It's got the, like, kind of goldish, silverish on-black motif.
Yeah, cool.
Right. Charm and presence are both the same. I'm going to say this is presence.
Uh-huh.
So presence is 2, persuasion is 2. I'm healthy, so that makes 5 altogether. Queen of Hearts.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
For 3 successes.
Magnolia's not completely convinced, but she is listening. She goes from like her kind of like almost like showily casual, like performally casual, like laying across the bed to sitting upright. And says, so what's the offer?
What were you in for?
Stealing documents, actually, from Mayor Lipton's office in Cindershore.
For your sentence, was there a fine or time required to be served?
Both.
Both.
3 years and 8,000 souls.
Hey, Jordan.
Yeah?
We haven't really established, like, a scale.
In my head, it's souls, loons, cells.
Sure, but is 8,000 a week's worth of work? A year's worth of work? 20 years worth of work?
Oh, good question. I'm imagining it, like, loons is, like, more equivalent to dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And so souls is a step above that. So, I don't know, like, half a year's work, probably. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
For for an average person.
The fine should be no problem. For your sentence, if you work for us instead, we can fill out a contract worker form and perhaps make it so that you are able to retain your freedom while working for us. And then once the contract is up, you are free to do and go wherever you wish.
Can you flip presence persuasion?
Yes. All right. Presence is 3. Persuasion is 2. One for healthy, one for eclectic. And this is presence, so it does not do body and mind. Well, that's nothing.
Okay.
We do still have a coffee card from last time, right?
Yeah, and drive.
Okay. Okay, that's the coffee card. That's a king. And let me flip a couple drive and see what we get. That's an ace. And that's a queen.
Wow.
So that's 2 drive. Should I keep going?
I mean, 3 successes is a lot.
Because when Esa got 3 successes earlier, it was like kind of a good persuasion, but not fully convinced.
Yeah, but this is sort of building on that, though.
Okay.
Yeah, essays was more like to them listening, like giving them, making them open to the deal, right? And this is the deal itself. So those are two pretty different things.
Okay.
I was going to say kind of like a cumulative, almost a cumulative flip.
Yeah. Magnolia kind of leans forward and says, "You're asking me to give up a sure thing for a maybe."
We're asking you to give up a maybe for a maybe.
She glances at Spar and says, "You're right. Belladonna's sure thing is not such."
If you have a counter offer, I'm all ears.
Yeah, I'm going to meet you halfway. Well, look, I would go nuts if I were to stay in one place to work for Gradio for a while, if that's what you're offering. Like, I don't stick around. It's not who I am. But
I was offering temporary employment at the currently, what's the right word for suits right now?
Suspended?
For the currently suspended suits operation.
That's actually a worse offer than the Gradio thing. You're asking me to work for a company that doesn't exist. Directly in Governor Thorne's crosshairs. Look, here's what... I'll disappear, okay? You won't have to deal with me, and I won't bother you anymore. But I'm not about to tie my time and my reputation to yours by any means, if I don't have to. So, I appreciate it. I already knew you were a good person. Clearly, you're a generous soul. But I don't know if you appreciate the shithole that you're currently in. And how little you have to offer me. So I'll split. I'll try to convince Timby to split. He's pretty dumb. So we'll see if that works out. But I can give you something else, too. One of the Bramble Guard, Nat, she's on her way to Stoneloft. And her mission is to bring in the dog. So I assume that's why you are in this neck of the woods, or you just felt homesick. I guess I shouldn't assume, but the point is, if you're interested in seeing Mr. Spade, you have competition on that front.
Good to know.
And she looks at Mayhoe and goes, "See, look, a civil resolution. I'll get out of your hair if you stay out of mine."
Vellum will nod and look at Spar.
Spar's still looking at Magnolia and says, you haven't told us what you want from us.
How about I gamble a little bit? If Suits ever comes back on its feet, that means that in some capacity, Belladonna has been dealt with. Is that fair to say?
Spar looks at Vellum.
If I frequent anywhere, it's the Kuminichi villages outside of Asanatura. If you want to get a message to me, you can do it through them. So, if Suits comes back online, the word online doesn't exist. if
is reinstated?
Yeah, if Suits is reinstated, send a message my way. I'll take you up on your offer. I would like to get that particular guillotine off from over my head, but otherwise I think you'll probably never see me again. And that suits me just fine. Suits.
Okay.
Unless you see me here. I do like it here.
It is a lovely place. And I would hate to cause more trouble for Meihui.
She's a real sweetie. Meihui blushes.
And this covers your scaly friend, too?
Oh, yeah. Cletus isn't... I mean, look, Cletus is a free thinker, but he doesn't... He's not in it for the money. He's in it for me.
That's sweet. Spar says sort of reflexively.
Aww. Aww. I think Vellum looks to Spar and kind of huddles close to kind of whisper to him.
I think if, since Vellum is sitting and Spar is standing, if he gestures, Spar will come kneel.
Oh, okay. Well then, he'll ask, do you think we should worry about the blood again or just leave it be for the moment?
I think we can only deal with one problem at a time. Mm. And Magnolia is offering us a truce. And I think that whether we take that or not doesn't change how much we worry about your blood overall.
Vellum will nod and pat Spar on the shoulder.
Spar feels like a good boy.
Aww. He wags his little tail. All right.
I think Vellum will stand and reach his hand out to Magnolia.
They extend their hand and shake. And then she turns to Meihui and goes, can I use this bed? I've had quite a morning. And Meihui kind of laughs and nods. As long as you stop attacking anyone, but especially Vellum, or especially Cowlin, yes, you may have this bed. And Magnolia just, like, thumbs up, falls backwards into the bed, and does, like, clearly not real snores the moment they hit the pillow.
Okay. Vellum will chuckle and say, it was good to finally have a chat.
They thumbs up again as continue to snore.
And then I think Vellum will start to head out of the room. If Meihui seems like she wants to know more about the details of their previous encounter or Suits no longer being in business, Vellum is happy to talk to her about it.
Yeah, I think she's definitely curious.
I don't know if we need to do that on mic or not, but...
No, I was going to say maybe a good scene is... Yeah, we head back into the lobby, which Ishbala has sort of gotten under control. Things are a little bit more calm. You're chatting with Meihui. What is Spar doing? Is he joining in the conversation, or is there anything else he would do?
No, given that they were woken up by an attack, he's shadowing Vellum. And okay. he'll speak if there's conversation, he'll speak. He's not.
Yeah.
But he is basically, he's on guard duty. He's being a bodyguard.
Sounds good. So, some amount of peace is restored to the inn, and I'll say Manhui has someone bring you all breakfast as you guys chat, and we head into the metro.
You know you don't have to make the music with your mouth. We asked Louis Zong, and we said, "Hey, Louis Zong, could we borrow some of the sounds that you make?" And he was like, "Yeah, bruv, that's cool."
Somehow, despite only having seen the movie of Adam West Batman, and only that, and only one time, the transitions in that film have really impacted me in a big way.
Fair.
Yeah, totally.
It's a good movie. All right. We're here. We're in the metro. Hey, everyone. Hope you're enjoying the episode so far. My name is Jordan Quipperns. I'm your GM. I'm your host. I'm Vellum and Spar's wingman. And my pronouns are they, them. And you can but shouldn't find me on the website formerly known as Twitter. And you can but shouldn't find Three of Hearts there also. If you want to find Three of Hearts online, you should go to Tumblr.com. Or threeheartscast.tumblr.com. It's in the description. It's that one. Essay's nodding. It's in the description. It's also, I'm so good at this. I don't have a fact yet. So, Essay, you're on the show.
I sure am. I forgot what our topic is.
It's favorite restaurants, I think.
Restaurant. Okay, good. Hey, Jordan, I've got a fact for you. What are we having for breakfast? What's a breakfast in New Orleans?
Ooh, oh, that sounds more like a Ela question.
Okay.
I know Asian breakfast is usually very different from over in the States. Like, you know, over here, we usually, when we hear breakfast, we think like pancakes and waffles and sweets, biscuits and eggs and bacon and all that stuff. Over there, it's more savory. They do like have sweets and whatnot, but traditionally, I haven't done a ton of research into it, but while I was there, while I was studying abroad in Japan specifically, it was like a fish and some rice and just kind of like a light meal that was still filling. But I usually had cereal because that's what I'm used to over here.
Nice. Good. Let's see. Hi, my name is Essay. I sure am on this podcast. I use she, her pronouns. I play Merrim Felspar, who uses he, him pronouns. My agent fact for the day is that Spire doesn't really have a favorite restaurant in terms of like sits down and thinks like, oh yeah, this is the place I want to go. But there is an automat not far from Suit's headquarters that has, it's a combination of sort of the old timey 1950s, like you put a quarter in the slot and it opens like a little refrigerated door and there's like a sandwich or something pre-made.
Uh-huh.
It sort of combines that with the like sushi conveyor belt style restaurants.
Okay.
And so a variety of cuisine sort of like choo-choo their way past you.
That's adorable.
It's a combination of like they're friendly to Suits agents, they're used to people like sprinting in, picking something up, like throwing money down and running away. Uh-huh. And they're also used to people who sit there for like 3 hours with a bunch of paperwork and just like keep pulling cups of coffee off of the uh-huh, off of the conveyor uh-huh. belt. They take mm-hmm. both modes.
Incredible.
The Kaiten Sushi restaurant that we went to while I was there was called Kappa's Sushi. So mm-hmm. it had little Kappa as the mascots. It's very cute.
Yeah, you can find me online. I'm on Tumblr, link in the description. And you should find all of us on the Three of Hearts Discord.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Essay.
Ela, you're up.
My turn.
Your turn.
Hi, everyone. This is Ela Alexi. You can find me online at Ela Alexi. I use they and he pronouns. I play Agent Vellum. He also uses they and he pronouns. For my agent fact, we're just going all into Ela facts from study abroad time, because I was trying to think of a favorite restaurant for Vellum,
And I immediately thought of a Tsukemen restaurant that I was introduced to when I was studying abroad. It was in the bigger city that was like one train station or bus ride away.
Uh-huh.
But like a friend introduced me to it, and it was like down this little alley around the corner, like little hole in the wall place. I never would have known about it if they hadn't shown it to me. And it was so good.
Aww.
I would go there pretty frequently after that. So yeah, I think Vellum similarly has a kind of hole in the wall, unknown little perfect restaurant that he likes a lot. I don't know. Maybe it's in Cindershore or somewhere that he doesn't go as often, but yeah.
Nice. For my fact, I'm gonna talk about Magnolia a little bit because I don't know if they're gonna show up again now that they're not hunting you. So they were an NPC I've thinking about recently. They were raised by the Kuminichi, but they're not a werebear. They just are hanging out with them. So I mean, if you haven't listened to the stuff with the Kuminichi in it, which would be our Vasa Natura or our Vasa Obscura miniseries on our Patreon. Or they also show up in one of our side shots with Kevin Cole. They are werebears, and they're also ninjas. The best of both possible worlds. And so Magnolia is like, you know, ghillie suit wearing, sniping, grappling hooky style of combat was learned by the Kuminichi. And from the Kuminichi. And they're also loosely inspired by the show Poker Face by Rian Johnson, starring Natasha Lyonne. Her character, Charlie, goes from town to town, always on the road, doesn't have a home, lives out of her car, and does, like, odd jobs wherever she goes, and that's very much, like, Magnolia's style and how they live. So, yeah. So they're not, I would actually say that they're, like, a good-hearted person, but also if they gotta make a buck by bringing in some fugitives, that they will do that. So, not perfect.
On the scale of Spar, who is trying to quit his job and not do anything, to Tatiana, who will do anything and everything all the time, they're kind of in the middle.
In the middle, correct.
Do you think that Magnolia would use Kusarigama?
What is that?
It is a Japanese weapon. I'll pop it in the Discord.
Okay. I'll give you a concrete answer when I see it.
It's like a little scythe with a chain on it.
Oh,
those guys.
I think I know this is because of the hit show Inuyasha.
I would not be surprised.
yeah, absolutely. That looks like something they would use.
Cool.
That's the mid-tier, everybody. Oh, I also wanted to mention Magnolia was named by a patron, and you could also name characters in our podcast if you subscribe to us on Patreon at patreon.com/threeheartcast. Bye. Have breakfast. Over breakfast, Spar, can you flip me wit empathy?
Sure. Is this at somebody whose name I know?
It's more generalized, I think. Okay. But also, yes, because you know a lot of the people around this table. So go ahead and add the one.
Sure. So wits 4, empathy is 4, that's 8, healthy is 9, and sleuthing is 10.
And actually, Ela, can you do the same thing?
Oh, yeah. Wit, empathy.
Uh-huh.
1, 2, 3.
King, Jack, Queen for 3 successes.
Okay.
I got 2 kings and a joker.
Okay. Things get kind of quiet around the table. I mean, everyone kind of woke up early and had a weird morning. People were just focusing on their food. And Vellum, you notice that Meihui is like really pensive about something. And you don't know what she's thinking exactly, but I just remembered now for the first time that you have a magic mood ring.
This is true. I do.
Yeah. Oh, but that only tells you your own emotions. That's not super relevant to this. But anyway, she keeps glancing at you, and you get the feeling that she's sort of thinking about asking you something in particular, which is the Joker.
Okay.
And Spar, when you were telling the story around breakfast, when you and Vellum were kind of recounting, you know, what has happened thus far to Meihui, Sorrel was, like, present. She came down, and she was, like, kind of animated during that part. She now seems, like, really, like, pensive and really glum, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else seems fine. Contextually.
Is Meihui sitting next to Vellum?
Maybe across.
Okay.
I'm imagining it's like an oval table.
Vellum will look at Meihui and say, is there something on your mind?
She inclines her head and says, there is some strife affecting Yue Liang at the moment. Mystery strife isn't the right word, but the closest our little community really comes to political unrest, I suppose.
I see.
And this is not said quietly at all. Like, everyone at the table can hear this.
Mm.
And she says, do you remember Jiayi? And you would. He's a villager who, you don't know super well, but he's like a hunter-gatherer type. He's a altered human who's got, like, bird attributes. Swings. Yeah, that's really all you know.
Could you spell that name for me?
Yeah, in just a second.
Is it J-I-A... Y-I?
Yes. Oh, also he's a cyclops, I should say. That's part of his operation. He's okay. Got one big eye.
Vellum will nod.
And also, I would say he's younger than Vellum, so you probably only really started seeing him when you came back here as when you were a bit older.
Okay.
But he's probably in his 20s, somewhere in his 20s.
Hmm.
So, something strange is happening in Stoneloft, and we're not sure what it is. But, normally, Jiayi specifically, but also other travelers and scouts, you know, we check to see if Stoneloft is aware of our presence, and the answer seems to be no. But what's interesting is that recently caravans and traders that would come in and out of Stoneloft, like this would happen regularly, no one's visiting or leaving Stoneloft, it seems, for couple of weeks now. Maybe not a couple of weeks. I forget, this game has happened over a pretty short period of time. For about 2 weeks now. And I guess that's a couple of weeks. And the belief is that something strange is happening there. Where the conflict comes in is that Jiayi has convinced the town, some members of the town, that we should take this opportunity to raid the library in Stoneloft, to take as much of their knowledge as we can and bring it to our library where it can be, you know, shared amongst the world. I don't think this has been said on mic, but obviously, of course, Vellum knows that in Stoneloft, they're very isolated in that town. And one of the main differences, pretty much the dividing difference between Stoneloft and the commune of Yue Liang, which is mostly made up of, like, ex-residents of Stoneloft, is that, yeah, Stoneloft really closes its gates to the world, and they don't really believe in, like, non-resident, non-citizens accessing their considerable wealth of knowledge in their library. And Yue Liang is just the opposite, believes that everyone should have equal access to that. And so that's some tension. When Yue Liang was founded, probably some books were taken from Stoneloft, and that's created some animosity.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sort of square up with Yue Liang being a hidden community that you can't get into unless you know?
So, first of all, I think it's sort of a little bit like Cloven Heart, where there's a network of people who do know about it and tell people about it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's a fun answer to that, actually. Do you remember that in the world of Three of Hearts, an archive of our own is a canonical traveling fanfiction library.
I'd forgotten, yeah.
So that comes from Yue Liang.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have a non-fanfiction equivalent of that. They do send people out from Yue Liang who bring books to different settlements, towns throughout Bicycle. It used to be that all of Yue Liang was a traveling community.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically a big traveling library, but they have mostly holed up ever since some events that I'm sure we will get to in the near future.
Is there any particular knowledge that Jia Yi is looking for or that the community is needing?
Wei Hui shakes her head. No, it's more about, I think in a way, sticking it to Stoneloft. And that is where the opposition really comes in. Of course, you know Qing Shao. He is opposed to this proposed raid. He believes that that would only provoke Stoneloft, which is the last thing that we need. Now, Jia Yi wants to do this in secret, but they will know where this came from, I'm sure. Now they don't know where we are, which is why Jia Yi believes we will be safe. She kind of sighs and says, Magnolia has actually agreed to join Jia Yi on this proposed mission.
Of course.
And
To
be completely honest, I don't have a significant stake in this. I would like to see the library expanded. I do see wisdom in Qing Shao's not saying we shouldn't do this. And I think that your voice, given the generosity you've shown Yue Liang, and of course your parents' contributions to our town, I think that your voice would mean a lot.
Vellum nods.
However, if you lend you, the reason I was hesitant to ask you to do that is that by lending your voice, you might make yourself an enemy of the side of Jia Yi, for example.
Yes, quite.
He already doesn't like that you've headquartered yourself in suits so far from home.
Well, I can understand wanting to take advantage of strife in Stoneloft to seize their knowledge, but I am also worried about what is happening in Stoneloft, and if things are really that bad, it would be dangerous for anyone who ventures that way as well.
Mei Hui nods.
Not to mention, if it comes back to Yue Liang.
Uh-huh.
Where might I find Jia Yi or Qing Zhao?
Both in the same place, actually. Qing Zhao recently has become the master tome tender, and Jia Yi is apprenticing under him, which is probably an interesting atmosphere right now.
Yes, I'm sure.
I assume there's more bickering than bookbinding happening in there at this particular time.
Can you spell, is it Qing Zhao?
Uh-huh. It's Qingzhao.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Vellum will look at Spar and say, okay, what's our to-do list for today?
Rescue Jack.
Yes, that is certainly quite important. And with what Magnolia mentioned, that should probably be one of our top concerns.
I think we risk losing him to Nat if we don't go as fast as possible. But Jackson Stoneloft, that does give us an opportunity to scout out and see what's happening there. And then we would be maybe more informed to offer a position. Well, and Spire addresses this to Mei Hui. Will this conflict keep until we come back in maybe a couple days?
She thinks and says, well, why don't you talk to Qing Shao and Jia Yi before you go and tell them that? And that I mean, would hopefully lead to a positive outcome.
Great.
Vellum nods. Out of character, do we want to talk to Timby or should we just ignore him because he's kind of useless anyway?
Oh yeah, I forgot. You want to talk to Timby?
I think Spar is visibly antsy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, lingering over breakfast is already longer than he wants to be taking.
Okay.
Because between his dream and how long everything has ended up taking and, like, the understanding that Jack is in danger now.
Right.
He doesn't even really want to stop to talk to
Jiayi and Qingzhou.
Jiayi and Qingzhou. Yeah, he would prefer to just like leave them a note and go.
Mm-hmm.
But this is Vellum's home. So he will sort of advise like we need to leave as quickly as possible. But he won't stop Vellum.
Okay. I think Vellum's going to say we should get everyone ready to head out to Stoneloft while they're getting packed. I'll go see Qingzhou and Jiayi for a moment, and then we can head out.
Meihui is going to put her hand over Vellum's and say, I understand your urgency, but you are going to see Selena and Linhua before you go, yes?
We'll be back in a couple days.
She nods.
Once we know that Jack is safe, I would be glad to spend a bit more time here.
Uh-huh. She nods and says, I suppose it is wise to tend to the living first and keep them that way.
Yes,
they'll understand. Yeah. I know they will.
Vellum nods. I think he does feel a little bit guilty, but seeing Spar be anxious, he's decided that they should hurry.
Okay. So Vellum's going to the library. Is Spar joining Vellum while everyone gets ready, or is Spar focusing on getting everyone ready?
I think with the people we have, right, between Josepha and Ishbala, they're both professionals who know how serious everything is. I think he's not worried about wrangling Merafina and Sorrel.
Okay.
He does, at some point during breakfast, sort of catch Sorrel, not physically, and say, hey, can we talk later?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it urgent? No secrets in this family anymore, remember?
No secrets. No, it's not urgent.
Okay.
Wait for the car.
Okay, good. I love you. I'll be back soon.
I love you too.
And he is not, much like Magnolia, he's not letting Vellum out of his sight. And it's not, I think people of Yue Liang might get the impression that Spar doesn't trust them. And it's not that. It's that they keep being attacked basically every single day.
Of course.
Right? Like that's what it is. But I do want to be clear that that can give the impression, because he's not from here.
Right.
That can look hostile.
A little rude, yeah. Mm-hmm, I get that. Ela, what do you think the library looks like in Yue Liang?
I think it probably has a little like station for the traveling carts to come and go and load up. It's probably got some big doors. I think the doors are probably usually open during the day. There might be like a little, one of the situations where it's got two doors and then like a little area for people to kind of mill in, and then two more doors, so that it's not just like completely windy inside the library.
Makes sense.
But like the open doors being like a symbol of people being free to come in.
Yeah, that's cute.
And look around and explore.
And is the library also inside the mountain?
I think the library is outside the mountain. It's along the narrow path outside. I like the idea that it's more of like a there's some natural light hitting this place, and it's a little bit more, yeah, well, it just looks a little more like traditionally welcoming, I think.
Hmm.
The rest is friendly when you get to know it, but you know, it's in a cave. When you go in, there's actually, like, there's so many books here that there's actually, like, a map to the different sections, like, when you come in. It, like, gets into, like, pretty significant minutia. There's a section on archaeology, but there's also a section on, like, a subsection on, like, archaeology from this region, archaeology from this period, et cetera, et cetera. Like, they break it down by, I think, first by period, and then another subsection by region. Like, they're super, super, hyper, hyper categorized.
So, like, Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, manning, like, the front desk is actually Jiayi, who, you know, I described before. He has green hair. He has big feathery bird wings, but no other avian features. Yeah, he's a human with one eye. It is like an abnormally like large eye in the center of his face. He, I mean, immediately is looking at you, Vellum, and says, "Oh, Kellen. This is an unexpected surprise."
Jiayi, yes. I'm on my way to Stoneloft, and I wanted to check in because I heard that you and Qing Zhao were discussing the situation in Stoneloft.
Also, I might have said he, Jiayi's pronouns are they, them.
Okay.
Jiayi says, "Ah, so it's business then."
Unfortunately, it is business at the moment, but I do plan on returning soon.
They nod.
When Jiayi says it's business then, does Spark get the vibe that Jiayi was hoping it was personal?
Can you flip with empathy?
Sure.
And you do know his name.
I do. I also, in case we ever need it, finally know Cletus's name. So I wrote that shit down. Wit is 4, empathy is 4, healthy is 4, 4, 8, 9, and then sleuthing makes 10.
I think Magnolia said Cletus's name in the first encounter.
Oh, maybe.
Uh-huh. But we finally know Magnolia's name.
Uh-huh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, 3 of hearts and an ace and a king, so that's 3, 4, 5 and a joker.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, you get the idea. You know from things that have been said that, like, for example, Jiayi resents Vellum for living so far away from the community.
Mm-hmm.
You get the sense that part of that is, like, they respect Vellum and maybe, like, admire Vellum. And so, like, there's some amount of, yeah, like, wishing that Vellum was more involved in his hometown. And Jiayi notices you noticing them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say also, like, kind of picks up on the vibe you were mentioning a minute ago of, like, Spar is sort of, like, impatient and, like, a little jumpy right now, I guess, if that makes sense. Or, like, maybe not jumpy, but, like,
I think it's less, I think probably what other people see is less the impatience and more the, like, constant scanning for danger.
Yeah,
I think it probably looks like distrust.
Right, like paranoia or something. Okay, yeah. Jiayi picks up on that and says, "Are you worried about something? Mr. Sorry, I don't have your name."
Felspar. Mr. Felspar. We've had a tumultuous week.
We were attacked last night. It ended up being a bit of a misunderstanding, but it's certainly made us a bit jumpy.
And you've been pursued, and you brought that to Yue Liang? They're saying it to both of you.
If Vellum doesn't say anything, Spar will let Vellum take the lead because this is his hometown and the person he knows.
I think they can both probably see Vellum feeling conflicted about it. Like, he didn't think that it would end up like this. He thought they'd got away from the danger.
And so Spar steps in and says, the only person we seem to have brought to Yueliang is Magnolia, and I sense that that's perhaps not as upsetting as it could be.
They look perplexed by this, and then they're about to say something else that's, like, maybe a little hostile, and they get cut off by someone else. It says, Xiaoyi, leave Cowlin and his guest alone. Emerging from amongst the library stacks is Xingxiao. I think part human, part elf individual who wears blue and black, like, flowing robes. Are there any other, like, are there any key traits I'm missing? Oh, wears a monocle.
Wears a monocle, has long black hair.
Yeah, up in a braid, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pronouns?
They and he. Vellum sees Xingxiao and says, Guga, it's good to see you. Unfortunately, we will be leaving shortly, but we will be back soon.
Xingxiao nods. To quote Ela, Xingxiao has kind of some resting bitch face happening as, like, their general vibe.
Oh, they also have a beauty mark underneath their eye. I can't remember if it's the left side or the right side, but...
What do they call Vellum?
Could do Didi or Shaolin.
Oh, I like Shaolin. That's right. That was the one I wanted to go with.
Lin Ar.
They approach and they say, they put a hand on your shoulder and they say, I'm sure you have a good reason for coming and going so quickly, Shaolin.
Jack's in danger.
And Spar, just as, like, an outsider to the dynamic, like, you can see that, like, despite their exterior being, like, kind of cold, like, they're very, like, warm to Vellum. They frown at this and say, well, that certainly needs tending to.
I've also heard that people haven't been leaving Stoneloft. And we've lost contact with Jack in Stoneloft.
Jiayi kind of gets excited and is about to speak, and, like, Xingxiao puts up a hand and says, yes, that's correct. It's caused a lot of excitement in Yueliang. Well, that is certainly important to look into and could be beneficial to us to know what's going on straight from the mouth of a qualified suits agent. And then he kind of looks at Spar, notices the sword and everything, and is like, is this a coworker?
Vellum gestures for Spar to come closer and says, this is Agent Felspar. Spar, this is Xingxiao.
Spar offers his hand to shake.
Xingxiao shakes as well and says, Felspar, that's a...
Yep.
He catches on to the vibe and says, I don't mean to be rude. I have to ask if you know a Marum Felspar.
Which one?
It's a family name.
Yes, it is.
The one I'm imagining probably a bit older.
Vampire?
Vampire. Not to my knowledge.
What do you... Either way, the answer is yes. What? Which Marum Felspar are you looking for?
They were an archaeologist, I believe.
Oh, that does sound right. Didn't Josepha or Merafina or somebody?
Lunavel said that they were an archaeologist.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they took the name Veracity and are no longer with us. I'm their nephew.
Ah, well, I'm sorry. I know Veracity reputation. I did not know that these two were one and the same.
Neither did I.
says, there's a curious tome here. A journal, actually, written by Merim that is one of the most curious relics in this entire library, if not the most curious.
Could we look at it?
Velamon's parents were very fascinated. Yes, I think it might be worth looking at. So they hand...
They go back to the secret section.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they walk you through the library. I mean, is Spar okay with this? I know we were kind of, like, in a hurry here.
We can take it and go.
Yeah, I think Spar would ask, basically, like, is it something we could borrow? If not, can we see it when we come back?
Hmm.
With the tone that, like, he's totally fine if we can't borrow it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't think we should borrow it, but I would be happy to show you at a more convenient time.
Okay.
And so, yeah, he's like starting to lead you away, and then he stops and says, again, like, your friend's safety is paramount.
Hmm.
And Ching Chao says, I think that Jia Yi will be agreeable in that we could stay this proposed raid until after your return with information of what's going on there. And Jia Yi says, it could be too late by then. What if you come back and the situation is resolved, or in your suitsy suits heroics, you fix the problem happening there and we no longer have an opportunity to raid?
I will bring a full report of what we discover when I return, and once we have determined Jack's safety, I will look and see into Stoneloft's library myself.
Yeah, he says, so you promise you'll put Yue Liang's interests over Stoneloft's?
Once I've determined that Jack is safe, yes.
Flip presence persuasion.
Okay. I don't get any bonuses for this. I get the healthy bonus, but that's it.
Okay.
Presence is 3. Persuasion is 2. 1 for healthy. I already used eclectic, and body and mind is not 4 presence. Uh-huh. Oh, damn. Well, I got a queen, and then a queen of hearts, and the 3 of hearts.
That's the name of the podcast. Holy shit, I feel like this happens to you a lot.
Yeah, it happened a couple episodes ago.
Uh-huh.
I've shuffled since then. But yeah, that is 7 successes. I was not expecting that.
Jia Yi nods, and they say, I hope that for your sake and the legacy of yourself and your parents in Yue Liang, that you keep this promise. But because of that legacy, and because I know that you're a person of generosity and honor, I will stay the raid until you return.
Thank you.
But if I feel that you have betrayed Yue Liang by the time you return, I will never forgive you.
Velum breathes deeply and nods because he's not sure if he can say anything to dissuade that.
Uh-huh. They say, well, safe travels, Talon Velum.
Thank you, Jia Yi. Did Ching Zhao have anything to say after Jia Yi said that?
Yeah, Ching, that's a good point. Ching Zhao says, I don't take too much stock in what Jia Yi says. They're intense. I mean, not only do I trust you specifically, but your family, and gestures to Spar, your family, they're legends in their own ways. I have faith that Yue Liang is in great hands.
Esse would want to say something like, when we return, I'd be happy to talk about my family with you. But that's not Spar. I have to say those words because I'm sitting on them vibrating. That's not whether he would do it or not is very different from whether he would make the offer, and he is not making the offer.
Yeah. Ching Xiao says, let me walk you back to the inn. I would like to spend at least that much time with Cowlin, if I may.
Vellum smiles.
And as you head back, I think that's the end of the episode. Pick up next time on the way to Stoneloft.
I think Vellum will give Ching Xiao a hug. I don't know if Ching Xiao is much of a touchy-feely person, but Vellum is allowed to give hugs to them.
For sure. I was going to say, for Vellum, yes. They return the hug.
And he'll say, we'll be back soon, and we'll catch up.
And Ching Xiao says, I can't wait, Shaolin.
Three of Hearts is S.A. Monik Tola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, and Jordan Quiverns as our host. We play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole and Super Tri Studios. You can purchase the game at spacekings.space. Our intro music is Dogtective, our mintro theme is At Last, a Piano, and our outro is Ghost plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast, all spelled out, that is T-H-R-E-E, heartscast. Support us for any price you can afford, and receive access to all perks, including gag reels, and to the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and written stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks.